Genesis chapter 22 and beginning with verse 1. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father! And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For I know that you fear God, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day. In the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. May God be pleased to bless to us the reading of his word, and as we have opportunity this evening to look into it. My good friend Harry is a quadriplegic. He sustained an injury in tumbling when he was a freshman in college, and he does not have the use of his legs and only limited use of his arms. He's confined to a wheelchair and to his bed. And when I encountered Harry early on in my ministry in central Kansas, Harry was suffering from what is called a clinical depression. And he explained his depression to me by sending me a cartoon. Jay would appreciate this. He sent me a little cartoon. And in the cartoon, there was a picture of a table around which stood three men. And one of the men was pointing to the middle of the table, to a glass in the middle of the table, and saying, "The glass is half empty." And the man on the other side of the table was saying, "No, the glass is half full." And the third man stood there a little befuddled and asked the question, "What glass?" And Harry said, "That's how it is to be in the midst of a clinical depression." And Harry's test was to come out of that clinical depression not by trusting medication, but by trusting Jesus Christ. And Harry's test was tailored to him to validate his faith in Jesus Christ, who is the one who passed every test for Harry and for people like you and me. And that's the lesson that emerges from this text in Genesis 22. God tailors your test to validate your faith in Jesus Christ, who is the one who sustained every test on your behalf. I'd like you to see how this point emerges from Genesis 22. And as we get into the text, we see first of all that God did tailor this test for Abraham. Look at verses 1 and 2 again with me in Genesis chapter 22. "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering and one of the mountains of which I will tell you.'" Here was Abraham's son, Isaac, the son of promise. In Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham first heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, Abraham was 75 years old. And then in chapter 21 and verse 5 it reads, "Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him." Abraham waited 25 long years for that son to come. It was built, that test was built for Abraham because it involved that son of promise for whom Abraham had waited for so many years. And Abraham knew that it was through that son that God had said, "All the nations of the earth will be blessed." And you know as well as I do that nothing happens by chance. Nothing comes about by so-called chance. Everything works in accordance with the will of God. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Every molecule in the universe is working together for the good of God's people. Imagine that. And that was the case for Abraham. Everything was working together for Abraham's good, including this test, which was tailored specifically for Abraham. And every test, because everything is worked out in accordance with God's will, every test that comes your way is tailored specifically for you and tailored specifically for me. And those tests, when they come along, require faith in action. And again, this is what we see in the life of Abraham. Again, the text, verse 3 and following. "So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and split wood and burnt for the burnt offering, and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place at a distance. Abraham said to the young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Abraham split the wood. And you can see him in your mind's eye, can you not? Whacking each of those pieces of wood and splitting it. And thinking about what that wood was for. And how Isaac was to be placed on that altar. And he took that wood, and the young men and Isaac. And then he saw the place after 3 days at a distance. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. But Abraham was no fool. Abraham was a man who did trust God. And so he said to the young men, "We're going over there, and we're going to worship, and we're going to come back to you." And with those words, he put the wood on Isaac's back, and the two of them went to the place that God had chosen. Mount Moriah. Do you know that place? It's the very mount where the temple was built. It's the very mount where the cross was raised and Jesus Christ cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's the very place of the crucifixion. And it was that place to which Abraham and Isaac repaired. And it was by faith that Abraham took that action. And he took those steps to take his son by the hand and go up to that place, trusting that God would take him there and bring both of them, as the scriptures tell us. He said to the young man, "We will go there and worship, and we will return to you." And what was Abraham's faith as he took those steps? Turn with me, if you would. Keep your finger there in Genesis and turn to Hebrews 11. Just a few verses there in Hebrews 11. Describing this circumstance and the faith of Abraham. Hebrews 11, verse 17 and following. Hebrews 11, verse 17. "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. And it was he to whom it was said, 'In Isaac your descendants shall be called.' He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type." Abraham not only believed that God was going to send the Savior through his son Isaac, but Abraham believed that if he did slay his son Isaac, that God would raise him from the dead. He trusted in God. He believed in the resurrection from the dead. And he knew that God would be faithful to him. And so he went forward with that faith in his heart, knowing that his God is faithful and that all would be well for him. And as he went, Abraham had to make his profession of faith more specific, because God calls us not only to believe in our hearts and to make a profession of faith, but to attach that profession of faith with our actions. And notice how this comes about in our text this evening. Look at our text again, verse 7. Isaac now speaks to Abraham. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And as they go forward to Mount Moriah, Abraham says to his son, his only son, the son whom he loves, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And so the two of them walked on together. And it wasn't just the profession that was enough, was it? As it is not the profession of faith which is enough for you or for me, the explicit action is required by God. Verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand with the knife. And there was Abraham, about to sacrifice his son, his only son, the son whom he loved. And it reminds us of our great God, who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the wood placed on the back of Isaac the son reminds you, does it not, of the burden of the cross laid upon the Savior as he bore the instrument of his own sacrifice on his back. And they went to the place, as I've said, the place ultimately not only of the temple, but of that cross, where Jesus Christ was obedient to the point of death, even death on that cross. And he gave himself up in that obedience for the likes of you and me, so that you could have new freedom from sin. And that was the purpose of that sacrifice. And because Jesus Christ ultimately went to the cross, and because Jesus Christ ultimately was the sacrifice to which all of this activity was pointing, the test in the case of Abraham comes to an end. And because of Jesus Christ, every test into which God is pleased to lead you and me also comes to an end. Again, please look at our text, verses 11 and following. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God and that you, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And then Abraham raised his eyes and looked. He'd raised his eyes at a distance once before and looked, and he saw the place of the sacrifice. And now a second time, he raised his eyes. And what does the text tell us? He raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said, "This day in the mount of the Lord it will be provided." And so Abraham took that lamb, that ram, and he offered that ram on the altar after the angel had stayed his hand. And he offered it, it says, explicitly, in the place of his son. And of course, that ram once again points to whom? Are we not glad that that ram, that blessed ram sacrificed in the place of Isaac the son, points to Jesus Christ, who was sacrificed in the place of you and me, and for your freedom, and for my freedom. And so Abraham, in that test, was not to prove that he was worthy of God. And the object of that test was not to prove that there was merit within him. No, it was not that kind of a test at all, was it? Abraham was already a believer. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham heard the gospel. In Genesis chapter 15, it's recorded for you and me that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. He received the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Abraham was the believer. And so this test, as the tests that come your way, are not tests to validate the fact that you or I or Abraham are something special, that we're worthy of God somehow. No, not at all. Because there actually is no merit within you or me. We are not worthy. It is only Jesus Christ who is the worthy one. The one to whom all of these sacrifices in the Old Testament point, and more specifically, that ram in the thicket sacrificed in the place of Isaac the son. And so those sacrifices and this sacrifice, those tests that you have and this test, are designed to vindicate the faith that is already within us. Praise be unto God that that's the case. Look at the end of the text now with me, if you would. Verses 15 and following. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies." In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. You might stumble just a little over verse 18. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. But the way you should understand this, I think, is by understanding that, like conversion, Christian life is a two-sided coin. Conversion is a two-sided coin. It consists of faith and repentance. If you really trust Christ, you repent of your sins. If you really repent of your sins and turn away from your sins, you turn to Christ. Real conversion is a two-sided coin. And so it is with the Christian life. It is a two-sided coin. Sometimes in the Bible, you see the side of the coin, faith. And other times in the Bible, you see the side of the coin, obedience. You remember what we read in the book of Acts. Repent, therefore, and return, and your sins will be wiped away. You see, that's one side of a coin. The other side is faith. Here, there is also a two-sided coin. And all you have to do is flip over this coin, and you know, since Abraham was already a believer, that it was not on the basis of his obedience that he received right standing with God. It's as simple as that. And you can read the text, because you have believed my voice and expressed that belief in your walk before me, in your obedience. And that's what the text teaches you and me. And so that obedience of Abraham in offering up his son Isaac expressed in a marvelous way before us that faith in the resurrection which Abraham already had. And so it is with you and me, my friends. Your tests, tailored by God, vindicate your faith in Jesus Christ, who is the one who went to the cross and passed every test in obedience on your behalf. My friend Harry, after a period of time, came out of that clinical depression, as it was called. And that cloud over his life lifted. And it came about as my friend Harry learned that everything in this world comes about by the hand of God. Even this test into which God had led him. And as he came to understand better who the sovereign God actually is, he began to rejoice in the faith that God had been pleased to give him in Jesus Christ. And that cloud lifted. God tailors your tests to vindicate your faith in the one Jesus Christ who sustained every test on your behalf. My dear friend Harry, bless him. My friend Harry learned that that's the case. And I trust, friends, that as God leads you through through times of testing, you too will learn that this is the case, that God tailors your tests to validate and vindicate your faith in Jesus Christ, the one who sustained every test on your behalf. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that you do test us, but you have good purposes, and you will not leave us or forsake us, but you will vindicate and validate the faith you've given to us in Jesus Christ, the Savior. Thank you that this is the case, and grant that your people here may grasp your word in this way. We pray in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.